Are you ready for the weekend yet? We have events, news, and a guest for you to enjoy this Lake Life weekend. Hello, Lake Life Weekend podcast listeners. Thank you for tuning in again this week. We have weekend number 30 ahead. I'm Dirk, I'm your host, and my apologies, we are a little late this week with our publication. I'm waiting for our guest, Mike Brown, to come, and we will speak today about hunting land, preserving forests, working on trails, and preparing for this upcoming hunting season. So I thought that would be a really good episode. So before we come to our guest, I would like to give you some news updates from this week and also highlight upcoming events this weekend ahead. News. We picked up an information about the Lakes Area Archers Club in Årdal. There's an article from the Fergus Falls Journal that you find on our website, lakelifeweekend.com, and they will have an open house. So if you want to try out as a family, if archery is something for you, not only as a sport, but also you can use it for hunting and improve your skills, go to the article and find more information on the Lakes Area Archers Club in Årdal. Elbow Lake's hidden gem. Have you ever heard of Tipsina Mounds Golf Course? In 1982, this golf course was built to provide exceptional service to all golf enthusiasts of all ages and levels. Tipsina Mounds is an 18-hole golf course and includes a driving range. Memberships are available or become a part of a league that meets once a week. Also in the Fergus Falls Journal, there's more information. We have a link to the article. And the website is tipsinagolf.com for the golf club. You'll get a link here on our website, lakelifeweekend.com as well. And I received an email last week from Dan, and he was emailing me about a photo contest. We have a photo contest, picture contest going on our Facebook page as well, but there is an even bigger one in Ottawa County, and it's called Most Beautiful Ottawa Sunsets. You will find a Facebook page as well, and if you go to the Ottawa Country Facebook page, oh no, Ottawa Lakes Country Facebook page, pardon me, you can still submit a picture till this Monday, July 31st, and then the whole month of August, you can vote on the five finalists for best picture. I'm just stunned. I met Dan yesterday, and he told me about the great success. I'm an art enthusiast, as people know, and I used to be an art dealer, in fact, in Germany, and photography is just a passion of mine, personal passion. They had over 1,200 submissions for their contest, and I was just stunned, and I think it's a great thing. It's going to be an annual best picture of most beautiful Ottawa sunset, so please check that out. Fascinating, and give your vote for the best picture as well. And new, we have the Fairhill Inn and Suites in Detroit Lakes now open. It seems as though it has been a long time coming, but the new Fairhill Inn and Suites by Marriott in Detroit Lakes is now open. The hotel is a four-story tall building with a total of 69 hotel rooms, with the fourth floor being a condo floor. The Hub 41 is a restaurant and bar next door in a separate building, kitty corner from the pavilion. And if you haven't tried that out, I've been on that deck a couple times, and it's a beautiful view over the little harbor there, marina, and over Big Detroit. Walking through the doors of the hotel, guests are welcomed with a modern, bright design with unique features. Extra amenities include an indoor pool, exercise room, laundry service, and Wi-Fi. More details also on our website, lakelifeweekend.com, and I'm sure you want to check that out coming to visit Detroit Lakes sometime here. This weekend's events. In Detroit Lakes, the Becker County Fair still going until Saturday. Annual fair is at Rossman Avenue. Grandstand events include the Miss Becker County Fair pageant on Thursday, which was yesterday, and a demo derby on Friday and Saturday. all schedule is on the Becker County Fair website. You find a link on lakelifeweekend.com if you want to check that out. Frazee Turkey Days also this weekend started today and will go through Sunday. Today also the Castaways Island Music on the Patio in Detroit Lakes on the Holiday Inn from 5 till 8. Also tonight at the Holmes Theater, The Shadows, 7:30 till 9. Today, Friday the 29th. Tomorrow we have Lake Park Fireman's Street Dance. It's a busy day ahead, and there's a softball tournament, citywide rummage sale, and the Lake Park Fireman's Street Dance to end the night. Tomorrow as well, Tyler Shipman Memorial Car Show, 10 a.m. through 3 p.m. in downtown Frazee. I've been there a couple of times, and actually we'll check that out tomorrow on our way to the Caters. So go there tomorrow. That's actually a fun event as well. And on the 31st, this Monday, we have a ladies' golf clinic at Wildlife Golf Course. Wildflower Golf Course will host a ladies' golf clinic for all levels of golfers. Clinic focused on all aspects of the game and will work with the participant on any trouble areas. Thank you for tuning in here. I'll turn this over to our guest, Mike Brown, and all information on lakelifeweekend.com. And feel free to email us hello@lakelifeweekend.com with requests or suggestions, putting things on the event schedule, and we always look forward to hearing from you. Yeah, welcome. I'm here with Mike Brown of JCR Land Company, and we will speak about hunting land, hunting procedures, public land, owning land, and welcome, Mike.
Well, thank you, Dirk. Thanks for having me on today. I really appreciate the invite to come out and visit with you.
Yeah, thank you for coming on a hot summer day, but hunting hasn't started yet.
Oh, we're getting close.
We're getting close, you see. So some people think of fishing and now already preparing for hunting. Tell me, before we speak about hunting in general and hunting land, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I guess I kind of started hunting back when I was probably 12 years old, maybe. I went out with my family. My dad kind of started me hunting, and I got the passion. I got the bug. That bug led me into pursue a career in wildlife and fishery science, and I got a bachelor's degree from South Dakota State. From there, I worked for a number of agencies, Fish and Wildlife Service. I worked for the South Dakota Game, Fish and Parks for a couple of years. Then it kind of fell into a different path, and I ended up going into the fire service, and I've been in the fire service for about 20 years now. So,
okay. And most recently, you also became an advisor for other hunters. I think you work for JCR Land Company as a real estate advisor, correct?
Yes, that's correct. I got my real estate license about a year ago, and I've been working with JCR Land for the last year, and it's been a great opportunity.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And my goal and dream is also to own hunting land, but that's a different story. I also know that you have been engaged in organizations such as Pheasants Forever.
Yes, correct. I've been with Clay County Pheasants Forever for probably 15 years. During most of that time, I've served as the habitat chairman. I basically work with landowners in Clay County to help them establish food plots on their property to maybe to better the habitat, to help the pheasants and the deer survive our nasty winters that we have in this country sometimes. And then we've also done a lot of youth programs too, as well as taking out youth on pheasant hunts and trap shoots and that sort of thing. So
it sounds you're busy year round with hunting topics.
Right.
And you made your passion that you earned from a childhood into a career now, forthgoing, hopefully. And I like the idea of, I have a pointer dog, and it's a pheasant dog. I tried to take him out. I have failed a little bit, but he's a natural, of course. And it's really fun. So, just random question. How is the population of pheasants in Clay County? Has it been good?
Well, yeah, actually this year, it's probably the best numbers of pheasants we've seen in probably 15 or more years. Probably longer than that. Probably prior to the winter of 96-97, we had really super numbers of birds around. It's taken a number of years for that population to recover. This year it probably looks like one of the best we've had in many years. So
that's good news.
That's very good news. It should be fun.
Yeah.
Be a fun fall.
Actually, that's good for me. Maybe you take me out hunting on some public land because I don't know own private yet. I would like to talk today a bit about utilizing public land, maybe speaking about owning private land and then also maintaining and preparing for a hunt. But let's start. Public land, how does that work? In Germany, we don't have public land. We
sure.
need to have a hunt. And then you have to have lots of licensing going before you can actually hunt the hunting land. So I'm not really experienced. So there's a lot of public land around, right?
There is a lot of public land. And yeah, actually, the state of Minnesota has a new program recently in the last 3 or 4 years. It's called the Walk-In Access Program. It's basically private land that the DNR has signed a contract with for that property to be opened up to public hunting. So yeah, on top of...
And that's marked?
It
How
is marked.
How do I find out?
Yep. Yeah, you can go to any dealer, any convenience store or sports shop that sells hunting licenses.
Yeah.
And they will have the brochures out that have all the maps and locations of the walk-in areas. And then, of course, they show all the other property that's available, too, like the waterfowl production areas, which is owned by the Fish and Wildlife Service, as well as state wildlife management areas that are owned by the state of Minnesota.
Okay, so I kind of knew about those maps, and there's even more land now because private individuals say we want to keep owning, but we don't use it enough, and we just want to, it's kind of like a community service, they open it up for
them. Yeah, basically they sign a contract with the DNR saying, we'll allow the public in to come in and hunt our property. So it's been a very popular program, and I think the acreage has increased since they... started the program 3 or 4 years ago. So,
oh, they get compensated, the landowners?
Yeah, they get a couple of bucks an acre for enrolling it. So there's a little compensation for them to enroll as well. So
okay. Well, if you want to learn more, people can contact you for sure, I guess. Yeah.
You bet.
So we have public land, and is it crowded? And am I safe on public land? I'm a little feared of guns, I guess. Or you hear of terrible and sad hunting accidents. How do you behave best on public land?
Well, I guess it's just kind of you need to work with others. You know, if you get a group of hunters that wants to hunt the same property, I mean, you need to hunt smart, and of course, safety is your number one concern. You know, you don't want to be doing anything that's any sort of unsafe practices or anything like that. But no, there's lots of opportunities. There's, probably the weekends are a little more busy on public hunting areas. Most people work Monday through Friday, and then they're out hunting on the weekends, and they tend to be a little more crowded. So if a guy has an opportunity to get out and hunt during the week, a lot of times you can find those public hunting areas to be wide open, and you'll have them all to yourself.
So just briefly, and maybe... I'm just the only uneducated here, and most people know all those answers. But just like a top three best practices, if I want to go with little experience, park my car, and I see there's 7 cars parked, or 3, or one other, and I don't see the hunter. And I'm constantly concerned to, like, what is the 101 to behave being already in it? I guess orange. Give us a little bit of best practice.
Yep, I mean, if you're out especially pheasant hunting or deer hunting, you need to wear some sort of blaze orange, whether it be a cap or vest or gloves. There needs to be a certain minimum amount of blaze orange that a person needs to wear while you're out in the field. So that's a safety practice. Of course, if there's a number of vehicles parked at a particular spot, like in Clay County, for example, there are numerous tracts of public land, maybe consider driving down the road a mile and find a place that's open and mm-hmm. or doesn't have as much traffic on it at the present time. Or, you know, if you want, maybe wait until they're gone and you can go out and enjoy the place to yourself. And, yeah. you know, that's an option too. So.
No, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. But if you walk into the field, I mean, you must see the others. Unless, what's with the deer stands? Or like, you can bring portable ones, I guess?
You can bring portable stands onto public property. However, they need to be removed the same day, so you can put them up and hunt them, and then you have to take them down that day as well. So
okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So do you know how many acreage there is in Clay, Otter, and Becker? How many acres is it? Hundreds or thousands?
There's definitely thousands of acres. Probably Clay County has thousands of acres.
Really?
Yeah, itself, between wildlife management areas and waterfowl production areas and the walk-in access program now. You get into Becker County probably has maybe 100,000 acres because they have what's called tax forfeited land. It's actually owned by the county that's all open to public hunting. So
wow.
A guy can get a hold of a map with you know, Becker County, and they provide maps to the public if you're interested in buying one. That shows you
maps.
All the locations of all the Becker County tax forfeited property.
Oh, there's different maps.
So correct. Yep. It'd be more of a Becker County plat book.
I didn't know about that one.
Yep.
Okay. And Ottertail equivalent, we have lots of acreage.
Yep, and there's a lot of acres down in Ottertail as well.
So lots of opportunity.
Lots of opportunity if you're a waterfowl hunter, deer hunter, grouse hunter,
I don't have to own.
You don't have to own your own property, no. Nope.
A lot of people want to own, and I guess I have that dream too, because I can walk my dog in private and I'm a little bit more safe. I am just a chicken, I guess. I'm concerned about my own safety most of the time. So how do you approach owning land? Is it affordable? Like, how's the market doing?
Actually, the market's been very good. Yeah, there's a lot of listings out there pretty much from, you know, just strictly hunting land. You can get into some properties that have some income on them as far as like tillable acres, or some have some conservation programs in place on the property, so there's a little bit of income involved on those acreages. So there's really a lot of opportunity, and really you don't need a whole lot of acres to have a successful hunt.
Define that, 20, 30, 40?
Yeah, I mean, a guy can, in the right place, the right property, heck, you can have a successful hunt on 5 or 10 acres. You know, I guess I was fortunate. I have dreamed, probably like many hunters do, of owning my own property for a number of years, and luckily I have a great wife that is supportive of that. And we made that dream come true about 10, 12 years ago. We invested in a small piece of property in Clay County, and just had some fantastic hunts in there. We enjoyed it. We put in food plots. We built deer stands. Yeah, it was a great little piece. And then I started out with 36 acres.
Okay.
And off that property, the number of years, I've shot 4 or 5 bucks that I got hanging on my wall off that little 35 or 36 acre property. So, It is affordable. If a guy can afford a car payment, you can afford a piece of property, piece of land. So,
okay. So let's say whether I utilize public or I have my private hunt, how do I prepare personally? Shape, or I guess practice, yeah, target shooting. So what is it about time? Are the clubs busy with target shooting?
Oh yeah, all the gun ranges I think in the area are probably getting pretty busy at this time. You know, there's a lot of guys that are getting ready for season. You know, our archery season opens here about the middle of September, so we're about maybe 6 weeks or so away from our archery season. So there's a lot of diehard bow hunters out there that are, you know, have been diligently practicing all summer and getting ready for opening day. But with that, I mean, if a guy owns your own property, you know, it really becomes a year-round sport. You know, in the wintertime, a guy can go out and do some shed hunting on the property, or later on in the spring, you might have the opportunity to hunt turkeys on the area, or and then the summertime, you get rolling around and getting trail cameras put up and getting tree stands ready to go and getting food plots put in. Yeah, and then next thing you know, you're sitting in a stand waiting for the big one to come by.
So you're leading into my question, maintaining a property. what do I need to do, or how do I treat? Let's say I own 40 acres wooded, almost untouched. So I clear some of it. What do I all do? Do I get trees out? I don't like taking trees out because I think they make air, but like, so tell me about it.
Well, there's something to go with that too. I know people don't like cutting trees down. However, if a guy could get in contact with a local forester for the area, he might be able to come out and give you some insight on what's best for the habitat on your property.
Uh-huh.
And that may mean taking some of those old growth trees down and allowing some of that new, young, vibrant vegetation to take hold on the soil that hasn't had a chance to grow because of the maybe the heavy tree canopy that's in the area.
Sure.
So that might be one option. Another thing is, you know, if you got some natural meadows on the property that maybe are just, you know, have some grass on them, a guy could work, you know, get yourself a little tractor or even a rototiller and go in and just work up a little bit of ground and get some food plots in place. And with that, with the food plots, it only is going to increase your hunting success on the property. So.
And that's legal?
That's completely legal, yep. Any normal agricultural practices are completely legal with the Minnesota DNR.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. You can't, however, go out and throw a pile of corn or throw out a bunch of pumpkins or apples on your property and hunt over it.
That's, you cannot.
You cannot. Nope, that is illegal.
That's trapping.
That's baiting.
Baiting,
correct. Yep.
But you can grow. So
you can grow.
Grow a patch of corn. Awesome.
Corn or alfalfa, clover, yeah, anything like that. Any normal agricultural practice is perfectly legal.
You could plant pumpkins.
You could plant pumpkins. Yep.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so I can, maybe I should clear my, so I should get in contact with the local forester, you said, and get some advice on the current habitat and then how to make the forest a better forest?
Right, correct. Yeah, the forester will meet with you and he'll walk your property and he'll speak with you on kind of some of your long-term goals that you would have for the property, whether you want to increase the property for holding deer or turkeys or rough grouse. Maybe there's some wetlands that have been drained on the property. You know, they can give you some advice on possibly restoring some wetlands on there to increase the waterfowl hunting opportunities as well. Your local DNR office has private lands individuals that do this all the time, and they're more than happy to meet with you and come out and walk your property with you and discuss your goals and visions on what you have for the property, and they'll work with you on making that happen. Along with that, there's some opportunities with the DNR, like soil and water conservation districts, Natural Resource Conservation Service are a couple of agencies that also implement conservation practices on properties. So if a guy wants to, maybe make a little income, maybe make enough to pay the taxes, mm-hmm. And help with mortgage payments or whatnot, those opportunities are there as well.
So to do what exactly?
To implement conservation practices on your property.
Oh, not to touch it? Oh, I don't know what that means.
If you've got some tillable acres that have an agricultural history, a guy can enroll some of those lands into like a conservation reserve program.
CRP?
CRP, yep.
Okay.
And you'll actually get compensated so much per acre to implement those practices on your property. So CRP is one practice. Of course, there are a number of other ones. There are forestry practices as well. You know, if you have wooded property, like we were talking about, the 40 acres of wooded property,
mm-hmm.
a guy can enroll in a sustained forestry incentive program as well. So they compensate the landowner for the forestry management practices that they implement.
Hmm.
So there are opportunities out there for not only owning land, but also making a little bit of money to help pay the taxes and maybe some of the mortgage on the property. So.
Okay, that's really interesting. However, like, I want to look at it from a different perspective as well. Coming from Germany, you may have noticed, people know. Forester, the term, so is he a state-employed forester?
Yes, correct. Yep, there are both.
We have
state,
the same.
Yep, yep, there are state and private foresters in the,
okay,
in the state.
Okay, so let's
Minnesota,
just say we have a forester and tax paid, so that's good. So we can ensure, Minnesota is extremely similar to actually German practices. I learn this every day again. So we have a forester available. He's actually in our best interest protecting the future of our nature. So, and then there's a number of programs, and the goal, I suppose, is to bring Minnesota forward, to have maintain, not just to have an income for me to pay my taxes, but it's, so we are very cautious about the quality and the future of our land. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, most hunters are probably, you know, in the same boat as I am. I believe in conservation. I think we need conservation, and there needs to be a balance of conservation and agriculture. You know, with that, it only is going to benefit the wildlife that are on the property, you know, game and non-game species of wildlife as well. So, yeah, it's probably the best thing for the property is to have some sort of a conservation practice in place, whether it be some sort of forestry program or a conservation reserve program.
So, okay, so I learned a lot. So we have many acres available for free, just
Correct.
Buying a license.
Yep.
And then... we have opportunity to actually affordable, probably buy a small land piece to have my own hunt. And then what I learned, we have a lot of interest of the state to assist us with preserving and actually bringing our property for the future. There's a lot. So people can reach you and inquire about information and learning more if they're interested.
Oh, absolutely. You bet. They can certainly contact me. They can check out our website. It's www.jcrland.com.
Yeah.
It's got information on myself and my partner, Mike Summers. And of course, it's got some listings on there as well. If you're ever interested in going out and looking for a little bit of hunting property, not only is it, you know, fun to own land, it's also a good investment and a solid investment. You know, land prices have continued to increase, and they're just not making it anymore.
Oh, speaking of that, I don't know if we have average, but what does acre cost me?
It really varies, depending on what the acreage consists of and its location.
Okay.
It really varies. I would say probably the average, and I'm just going to kind of shoot a range for the average in our area, is probably $1,500 to $2,500 an acre.
That's an average. Oh, 25 sounds high end, though.
That sounds high. That's high end, yeah.
And 1,500 is kind of in the middle.
1,500 is, yeah, probably on the lower end. I would say that's probably, you know, the lower end of average.
And if you see something for 1,200, then it's like a lot of swamp, or
I guess could have some lowland on it. It really depends on, maybe it's in a location that maybe is not doesn't have a history of really good hunting in the area, or there's a number of variables that go with that. But
I do the math here real quick. So 30 acres, let's say at 2,000, so we're talking 60,000. So there is land between $50,000 and $80,000 available. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's a lot of parcels that are available, and a lot of those parcels are, you know, probably have a good mix of habitat, good range. Some might have some low ground on them. Some might be forested. Some might have some tillable acres. So yeah, there's a lot of different properties available right now, and a lot of opportunities.
Hmm. Okay.
If the guy's interested.
Yeah. Well, anything else you want to add? You mentioned kids program. You want to invite somebody. What's Pheasants Forever?
Pheasants Forever is a private conservation organization. It's actually based out of Minnesota. We all are pheasant hunters, diehard pheasant hunters, and we all believe in conservation.
Okay.
And with conservation comes pheasants. It's a great organization. A lot of local chapters in the area here. Of course, I'm with Clay County. One thing I like about Pheasants Forever is the money we raise through our fundraising, whether it be our banquet or raffles or anything like that. Our committee in Clay County gets to delegate where the majority of that money is spent. Just for example, since I've been involved in the chapter, I think we've acquired probably 3,000 to 4,000 acres in Clay County that's going to be all open to the public hunting.
Oh, you buy land?
Yeah, we assist Pheasants Forever, the national organization. Our individual chapter will contribute funds to acquire those properties that come up for sale, and if somebody's interested in selling to Pheasants Forever. So,
how are they marked? Pheasants Forever Land? Or?
No, they will either be turned over to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to be opened up as a waterfowl production area, or they will be turned over to the state of Minnesota as a wildlife management area.
Fascinating. So, okay, with my membership or supporting Pheasants Forever, I not only contribute to the livestock or whatever, but also to...
Yep.
Also to make public hunting available.
Right. Yep. You bet.
And then raising. Okay, because the animals can mature in there. Interesting. Huh.
Yep. We kind of, you know, pheasants come with the habitat. If the habitat is available on the ground, the pheasants will come.
What's habitat? Grass?
Yeah, it could consist of anything. You know, whether it be grass for pheasants. Or sharp-tailed grouse. If you get up in the northwestern part of Minnesota, there's some sharp-tailed grouse populations up there. If you look at wetlands, you know, probably focusing on more on waterfowl and upland nesting for the waterfowl versus, you know, the woods that are probably going to be more attractive to the deer and the turkeys and the grouse.
So, okay, let me just understand that. So with grass comes the pheasant? Like they just come in a way?
Well, yeah, if you got the habitat, the right habitat and the right location, and the, you know, the amount of habitat that's needed to support a population of pheasants.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I learned a lot, and I hope to pursue my dream at some day to own some acreage. I will pick your brain on my next pheasant hunt coming up. When is season starting?
Season, I'm not sure on the exact date. October. It's usually about the middle of October.
And the next one coming up is of September?
Our first one would be archery season. Archery season for deer opens. Well, actually, I take that back. There's a bear hunt that starts the 1st of September. And then archery season for deer opens middle of September, as well as ruffed grouse.
Oh, that's really coming up. That's like 4 weeks, 6 weeks.
A few weeks away.
Wow, okay. Yep. Well, thanks again for coming in. And to find out more about JCR Land Company or get in contact with Mike Brown and Mike Summers, jcrland.com is the website, I think.
Yep,
and,
correct.
Yeah, thank you again, and have a good hunt.
Sounds great. Thanks, Dirk. Appreciate it. Look forward to hunting with you.
Yeah, thank you. Bye. Yeah, this was already our newest episode of the Lake Life Weekend podcast. We sure hope you enjoyed it. Tune in again next week with another great guest and updates. Always check out our website, lakelifeweekend.com. And if you have some comments, please feel free to email us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com. And you have a wonderful weekend ahead.